Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? Success leaves footprints. But in so many cases, the footprints have been covered. They have been excluded from the fabric that is our history. And what I am intent on doing is to bring to the fore many of the subjects that have been omitted from what we consider our mainstream history. These are not new things that are being added. They are things that were there all the time that have been omitted. Omitted by historians tend to fall into just a small number of cases. One of them are achievements. I do a post on amazing Black history, and it started because my intent is to inspire and motivate people, have them understand what they are capable of doing. Is this a show just for Black people? No, absolutely not. Because what we find is that many people are underperforming. Many people are underperforming for many reasons. Some of those reasons include the fact of not seeing themselves in history. History was one of my least favorite subjects as I was coming along. In junior high, in high school, in college, it was at the bottom of my list because I never saw anybody that reflected who I was. I saw people, and what we were given as heroes, as those people that we should emulate, that those people that we should become like, did not look like me. And it has a devastating effect on you, whether you realize it or not. To those people that are not Black, what happens is you fall prey to the same information that we have fallen into. That is not believing in the capability of your teammates, people on your team, in your country, in your school, in your neighborhood, to be able to contribute. The stories are not intended to motivate only Black people, but to show people that with struggle, that we can persist, that we can overcome. And so take that part out of the equation. That is not what we're talking about. Some people feel that if you give someone else credit, that you're taking credit away from yourselves. This is not that either. I'm not saying that people of all ethnicities, races, religions, cultures have not contributed, because they have. What we have been fed, however, is a skewed history that gives us false perceptions. We see many cases, and I'm thinking right now of the photograph that shows the connection of the intercontinental railroads between the Atlantic and the Pacific in Promontory Point, Utah, a wonderful engineering feat. But what we see in that photo are all white people. All white people. Most of the work done on that transcontinental railroad was done by Chinese, Asian people, but they don't get the recognition. We then end up with a skewed view of who did the work. We are able to fall victim to things like being a self-made person when other people have had roadblocks placed in their path. And we find this from the day that I grew up, from the first television show that I watched, which was a Western, a cowboy movie, a cowboy show. And what I saw out of years and years and years of watching was not a single Black person. And yet when we look at statistics, when we look at facts, we find that one out of four of everybody that was a cowboy was Black. The others were Hispanic, But do you ever see them represented? That doesn't mean that they weren't there. We have a series that talks about cowboys in the West, whether we're talking about Mary Field, who was known as Stagecoach Mary. Stagecoach Mary was the first black female to contract with the United Postal Service. She worked in Montana, and she never lost a letter, never lost a letter. She was able to get through. She had a wagon with mules, and when the snow got so deep that the mules couldn't make it, she got off on foot and delivered the mail. Those are people that we should see as heroes of the West, regardless of color. But what we've done is, what we have done, and I'm including myself in this, because as America, we have excluded the knowledge of this. There are people that could have seen this and been inspired by it. When I look at some of the examples of what happens, we mentioned Leon Coffey. Most people have never heard the name Leon Coffey. But Leon Coffey impressed me personally because I used to work as a law enforcement officer, and I worked at the Benton Franklin County Fair, and they had a rodeo every year. Leon Coffey was one of the clowns. We see this as maybe being funny, but it's not. Because cowboys get hung up. They can get hurt. They can get injured. They can get killed. But Leon was one of those rare breed of people that went in and unhooked those people from the bronking bulls and what have you. And I'm working one night, and he is scheduled to be on the show. But they don't expect him to be there because the night before, as he was rescuing a cowboy, he had a bull break his jaw. His jaw had to be wired shut. This is a painful injury. Who walks into the stadium in costume to perform Leon Coffey? This is the type of stuff that we are made of. And when you, whether if you're black, that should inspire you. If you're not, it should show that you are working with people who have that type of drive, that type of motivation. We hear all along many examples that say black people cannot make decisions. Black people can't determine what they want to do. They had to be enslaved. They didn't have intelligence. They didn't have. This was necessary to justify extracting the type of penalties and deprivation of life on human beings from the very inception of our country. And we've allowed that to persist. Why? Because we don't know our history. We don't know our history. And we have allowed historians not to put forth the information. Why? Because we have a situation now that I will touch on very briefly, and that is that the prior generations did not have this knowledge. They therefore don't know what's going on. So we have people in school boards saying, no, no, no. The history that you teach now cannot include facts that I didn't learn. And you were excluded from the knowledge of these facts. Not that the facts didn't exist, but you were excluded from those facts. If we were talking about, for example, a medical procedure, if you have cancer, and many people have had it, but the progress comes when we know about it. And the earlier we can learn about it, the closer we come to eradicating it out of you and out of other people. Understand that that knowledge is powerful. Sometimes we have to open old wounds. Sometimes there's a broken bone. Sometimes there's a diseased organ. Sometimes there's something else. But the sooner we find out about it, the sooner we can rectify it. This is what I'm doing at this point in time. I am opening up what needs to be. Otherwise, what happens? It may heal over, but the scar inside continues to fester. So we come up with these things, and we find so many instances where people have made remarkable achievements and never been given credit. Never been given credit. Being given credit does not detract from those people that have received credit. But I think it enhances what America is supposed to stand for. It stands for the fact that we can all become great. When we look at Emeril Lazarus' inscription on the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. We leave out the sentence above. Words have power. And we have extracted a part of that, very meaningful part. But the line above it tells these countries that are sending their tired, huddled masses to us to keep your best. Keep your best. We'll do the rest. We will make people great. And we do that by being a team. One team. One team. When we go to a sporting event, we have to realize that each player on that team, whether they're on a field or whether they're on something else, must rely on all members of the team. When we get to the point where we have to take entire groups of people and leave them off, not respect what they're able to do, who loses? Whole team. And this is what we're doing. We're trying to put that fabric back together, but we're trying to do it with all of the vibrance that should be there. If you were to take a picture and use a filter to filter out a particular color, I don't care what color it is. You can do it with any color that you can imagine. If you do that, the picture is going to look funny. It's not going to look accurate. And neither is our view of history for that very same reason. So we're putting that tapestry back together. We're reconstructing that very history. We're putting it back as it belongs. In this particular case, we're going to talk about someone who we are using the technology of as I speak. And you're probably looking around. If this was a cartoon, there would be question marks popping out of your head all over the place. Now, I give you a preview of our primary topic, because this is not the only one that we can talk about on this show. But we have so many, and we end up with many people who are afraid to face the question of race in this country. If I were to ask anybody a question about race, more than likely, most of you say, well, we don't talk about that. People that tell me they don't see race, I don't know what they're taking me for. I see it. It's my reaction to what I see that makes a difference. I have had a change in my view because I lived in a segregated community. My view skewed, very much so. Their view had to be equally as skewed because we don't talk about it. And so we're going to get into parts of those discussions now where we look at a person, a very valuable member of our community. So what did this person do? This person is Dr. Miriam Rogers Croak, Funny last name, Croak, C-R-O-A-K, just like a frog, croak. Just like when you die, you croak. Her last name is Croak. She is a vice president. Prior to that, she was a vice president at AT&T and is a high caliber person, a high thinking person. But before I tell you much more about her, let's tell how she got interested in science, because there are some lessons here that you students, and I hope that we have a number of students listening, because this program is dedicated to you. The program is dedicated to your parents who can help you. Ultimately, that's who we're talking to, because the children of today are our future for tomorrow. Our future for tomorrow rests with you. And the parents have a duty, I feel, to guide students in the direction that they should take. As a young child, Dr. Croak, Dr. Miriam Rogers, was given a chemistry set by her father. There are parallels here. I didn't go to the extent that she had, but I started with a chemistry set. It was something that intrigued me. One, it exposed me to elements. It exposed me to compounds. It exposed me to scientific way of thinking. And I began to think in those terms. We sometimes think that children are not observant. And I want to bring something to you that is completely disassociated from this. But some of you may have watched television recently in which a father comes home and he hears music coming from his basement. What's so unusual about that? The music was coming from an old keyboard that nobody in the house knew how to play. Nobody knew how to play it. Well, who was down there? Who was making these sounds, or was it something else? No, it turned out that his 11-year-old autistic son taught himself to play the keyboard. So impressed was the family that they bought a larger keyboard to see what he could do. Equally as talented on that, the family came in contact with a piano tuner, a white guy. It should not make any difference here in America, the color of anybody involved. It should not. But in all too many cases, it does. This man listened to this 11-year-old kid play and determined that he had Mozart-level skills. Mozart-level skills. In addition to promising to tune a piano every month for the rest of his life, he did something that most people would not do. He took money that he had inherited, $15,000, and bought a grand piano for an 11-year-old autistic student. As adults, as citizens of this country, we should be willing to do what's necessary to bring out the talent in people, not the disability of people, the talent of people. Regardless of any of the factors that we always are throwing in, color, race, gender, socioeconomic backgrounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ad to nauseam. What does ad to nauseam mean? It's so much of it that it makes you sick, like nausea. This man is now considered a part of that family. The family immigrated from, I believe, Dominican Republic or somewhere, but they are so thankful for this. We have situations in which we could do that. But we have so many impediments to doing it. But Dr. Croak started with a love of science, a love of science from a young age, single digits. And she pursued those challenges. We have many people, and white, who have hidden in their minds, the back of their minds, that all kids are not capable. And that is foolish. Because as I talk to you about various subjects and expose you to various subjects, we are going to have two series coming up, and I want you to pay attention to these. I want you to share them with other people. Because in the month of February, which is Black History Month, we're going to talk about oppression. Many people feel that everybody had the same chance to advance, the same opportunities. And that sounds good because that's part of our motto. Or so we think that it is part of our motto. We think that that's ingrained in America, but it's not. And there are so many obstacles to what happens. We look at, and what I'm thinking, my mind sometimes goes off track, and I have to make sure that I keep it on because it's kind of like a BB in a boxcar. It bounces all over the place. And sometimes it gets way, way, way off target. But while we are the home, the land of the free and the home of the brave, we look at that song, Great Admiration. It was written by Francis Scott Key. But most of us don't go back to the point where Francis Scott Key was a slave owner, a particularly cruel slave owner who wrote this song. And in the third stanza, it says that no refuge, there's no safe place on earth for the hireling or slave to save him from the terror of flight nor gloom of the grave. Slaves, we know who they are, or at least we think we know who they are. You don't know the brutality of what happened during slavery. Hirelings refers to black people who fought for the British. And they fought for the British because the British promised them freedom. Freedom. So ingrained. And it's run so counter to the story that we sometimes hear that all the slaves were happy down there picking cotton and being split up as families and having things. There were even laws that said the first time a slave ran away, you cut off an ear. You branded their face. And after about three or four times, you could chop off a limb. These were laws. This was the status quo in this country. And so we still go along with vestiges of those thoughts deep, deep, deep in us. Most people are not there. Most people I can't blame. I can't blame you for slavery. And we put the disgrace of slavery on those enslaved rather than those people who were inflicting this pain, who were looking at them as something less than what God created. So we go back and we understand that there is no safe place that can hire, that can hide the slave or hireling, terror of flight, nor gloom of the grave. Did that tell you something about the attitude of the person that wrote that song? I think it's a disgrace that it's in there. Most of us have no idea that there are four standards to the Star Spangled Banner, but they are. And it shows that race is so deeply ingrained in so many places, in so many ways. But yet and still, we have Dr. Croak, who is fascinated by science, She grew up in New York City, and I believe she graduated from Princeton and went on to work in the area of computers, of technology. So what she did, and what she did that we are using today, is she is credited with being the inventor of voice over internet protocol. Just what the heck is voice over internet protocol? We sometimes see it capital V, small O, capital IP, VOIP, we sometimes see. And this allows the voice to be transmitted over internet lines. Now, we're familiar with the phone. The phone has been around for years. We continue to improve it. But we sometimes lose sight of the fact that Latimer worked for Bell and had to do the drawings for Bell to get the invention improved. He also worked for Edison. And both of these people tried to get him. Latimer was a black man, very talented black man, and he came up with many inventions. We'll talk about him at a different time on a different day. But it shows you that we've had that ability from day one. When we go back, and probably in April, we're going to post on the Ashingo bone. And the Ashingo bone, what is it? Most of us have never heard of it. But what I try to do in making the post is give you some information that you can look up. You can disagree with me. You can find additional information, ever the case may be. These are subjects that need to be discussed. Discussed as adults. When I tell you that I've done something, I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting anybody down. But neither should you put someone else down to keep and take some of the shine off of you. I think it puts more on you because it shows what is possible in this country that's not possible in other parts of the world. So Dr. Croak invented this ability to transmit voice over internet. We see it when we use such programs as Zoom, RingCentral, and some of the others. We can even take a device. I have a VOIP phone in my home. Yeah, I have a landline and I have a cell phone. But for less than $50 a year, I can make all the calls on it anywhere in the United States or Canada that I want to. All that I want to. But it requires me to have an internet connection. Now, what's so important about that? Because when we hear something, we oftentimes don't know how it's coming. We don't know whether it's VOIP or whether it's MP3 or MP4 or whatever some of these, but many of them are built on the VOIP platform. We need to inform ourselves. And the main point that I want to make here is that we, and when I say we, I'm talking about everybody within the sound of my voice, have capabilities beyond what we're doing. We need to encourage our children. I look at many of the students of today, and I'm admittedly getting a little bit off point at right here. South Carolina has a law that students must be able to read by the third grade. But I believe one of the defects we have is that we have standardized reading materials. We don't take into account the interest of the student. When I was in school, I had kids that could tell you statistics on baseball, who played for this team, what they hit, what they did, this, that, and the other. And I was amazed because that was not my area of expertise. Come to reading, and they did horribly. I feel that if they had specific materials along their interest, their interest, that they would have blossomed. We see cases of this happening everywhere. We hear Frederick Douglass. Many of us don't know what the price that Frederick Douglass paid to learn to read. He knew a few letters, and what he would do is he would steal biscuits from the house, go out and find people that knew letters, and trade them a biscuit for what they knew, until he became a very eloquent speaker, articulate, knowledgeable, traveled the world. We should be greedy for knowledge in the same way. And a lot of that goes back to parents. We sometimes see the lesson, but we overlook the interest of the child. We overlook the interest of the child. I've seen classes in computer in some of our schools, and the kids are interested, and so what they can do is absolutely remarkable. It's remarkable. I think sometimes we need to integrate some of our classes, and I don't mean black and white. I mean sometimes we need to talk about how English is important to mathematicians, how math is important to people taking English, etc. This is what I think happened. And we sometimes dip in the bud, to quote Barney Fife, the interest of kids by expecting them to conform to certain normals. We do this in the form of standardized tests. But let's get back to Dr. Croak. She has over 100 patents, over 100 patents in the area of VOIP, over 100 patents, and makes so much of this available to us. I could use my phone right now to call many of you that are listening today. And what does that cost me? Less than $50 a year. I can call friends in Canada. No additional charge. Other parts of the world, I can pay a little fee and get that too. But she made all of that possible. So while we sit around so high and mighty using and utilizing many of the things that we run across in terms of technology, we could be making them better. Now, Dr. Croak has over 200 patents all total. Over 200. I just mentioned the 100 that she has in VOIP. But she is able to stimulate the interest, not just of black kids, white kids, females, anybody else. Anybody that has the ability to see her can be inspired. Parents can be inspired. Children can be inspired. Now, while I'm talking to the children at this point, let me point out something to you. Many of the people that we talk about, we find that when we look at things that make them great, make them outstanding, make them memorable, that allow them to contribute, that what they're doing is they're shining a light unto the world. We hear the phrase sometimes, let your light shine. You let your light shine. And that's what we do when we bring attention to some of these people, because they can inspire other people, and they in turn inspire still more. See this day in and day out, and sometimes do not recognize what we're looking at. We don't always realize that. We have football players that are inspiring kids to become football players. But we sometimes miss something because they end up thinking that all they have to do is run the ball, block somebody, do this. But in order to be good citizens, they need to know language. They need to have an overview of finances at the very least. When we look at TV, we see Shaquille O'Neal on so many commercials. If he didn't have the personality, if he didn't have the absolute control of the language and things that he did, he's probably making more money now than he did when he was playing basketball. And we see so many examples of people that make it and they blow it. They have to have their large entourage escort them around everywhere they go. And what they're doing is they're paying people to be their friends. Paying people to be their friends. Rather than, as Robert Smith did, paid off the outstanding fees of an entire college class. Who is Robert Smith? Robert Smith is a black billionaire. We look and think that money is everything. Money is not. It's among the least of these. And it's not money that's evil. It's the love of money. When you have money and you can do that, that's love. Bill Gates and other people have pledged to give away most of their fortunes. They have enough money. We see, and I saw today, Mark Cuban is opening up he has Mark Cuban's Cost Plus Pharmacy. And they gave an example of what was going on. There was a particular drug, I believe it was Lipitor, and it cost the average person $55 for a 30-day supply. You can get it from him for less than $5. And he has, he describes it, and I'm not saying that he's bragging at this point, but he's not chasing his next dollar. Let's say that. He was willing to step out. How'd they start? He sold everything that you could think of door to door, went around knocking on people's door. Hi, my name's Mark, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We sometimes give ourselves too much importance when it comes. And what I'm working on now is a method that I hope that we can bootstrap some of the dreams that we have. Allow people to start with nothing but a desire, an ambition, and work themselves up to the point where they can be in those positions as well. And I want you to join me. Now, I'll put in a little ad for what's going on. Because on Amazing Black History, I could give you a summary, but I feel that that's incomplete. I can tell you about Dr. Croak, and I've done some of it. Many of you that are listening have already read that post. If not, go to AmazingBlackHistory.com and look at the most recent post. There are over 250 posts there. But what I attempt to do is to give you videos. All of us don't learn the same way. And from that knowledge of seeing the videos, you can study books and dig deeper into that person, their accomplishments, what they've done. This is what the name of the game is. There is a TED Talk, and TED Talk is ideas that influence people. And I was watching one last night. This black guy who is now a PhD was a D student in high school. D as in David, not B as in boy, better, or anything like that. He was a D student until he began to learn who he was. Very, very important. He began to learn who he was. He became an autodidact. And you've heard me talk about that because I consider myself to be an autodidact. And let's break that down. Auto meaning self. Didact, learning. Self-learning. I learn what I want because I can study what I want, when I want, how I want. So many of us, and I want parents to understand this, It is critically important for parents to understand this, that many times your child has a dream, a desire, and we sometimes shut it off. We look at Barbie dolls and think, that's such a whimsical thing. But I want you to understand that one of the leading designers of Barbie and her clothes is Luvinia Black from Spartanburg, South Carolina. From Spartanburg, South Carolina. And she was able to pursue her dream. Sometimes we find a kid sitting around in their drawing. What are they drawing? It's a clue to their interest. Students, I want you to understand this. We go to school and we're sometimes embarrassed that we have not picked up a concept. We have not picked up an idea. And we're too ashamed to say, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And maybe it's difficult. But what do you know of that's worth having that's not difficult, whether you're learning to ride a bicycle? I don't know how many times I fell over, tipped over, did whatever as I learned to ride. But as I learned to ride, I became much, much better. Much better. And so we have to get out of this thing that it's embarrassing to ask questions. And that goes for adults, too. I've seen adults complete assignments given at work, and they didn't understand, or the boss wasn't clear or something, but there was a miscommunication. And a lot of time was wasted. A lot of time was wasted. A lot of energy was wasted. And I've been in situations like that myself. But we need to make sure that we understand what we're supposed to do. We need to fight that battle. And if we get behind, we don't realize that we are way behind and way, way behind her and behind her as we don't come up with the basic concepts of what we're dealing with. This, her love of STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, allowed her to pursue her dreams, allowed her to pursue areas that she was interested in, allowed her to contribute not only to the country, I mean to her company, to her country, to the world. And yet she remains largely unknown. Students, do what you have to do before you do what you want to do. You'll find that it's so much easier. It's so much easier to be in control of your knowledge. We sometimes don't want to do it, but one of the best things that I can tell you to do is to keep up with your work and even a bit ahead. Read the next chapter. Be a little bit familiar with it. Then when the teacher is talking, you can understand it. It begins to fit in place. Yeah, there are going to be things that you don't understand about it. It happens to me now. But I've gotten over the embarrassment of asking questions. I'll ask a question in a minute. And it may seem like a very basic question, but if I don't understand it, I can't move to the next level. If I don't understand what's going on in the first grade, how can I expect to move to the second? And the process has repeated itself over and over and over again. When it comes to areas like mathematics, we invented mathematics. When I begin to explain to you the Ishingo bone, most of the examples that we have in mathematics go back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. The Ishingo bone, which comes from Central Africa, is between 18,000 and 20,000 years ago. That's when mathematics was invented. When we look at the Olmecs, they were so precise thousands of years ago, and you wonder where the Olmecs are from. From statues that I have seen, I would gather that they are from Africa. When we study details of Christopher Columbus, we find that there is evidence that people in South America were trading with Africans well before he ever got there. When we were in a panic over 2012 and the world ending, it was because the Olmecs, who preceded the Incas and the Mayas and whatever, had a very complex system of mathematics, very complex. Their year was actually in two parts, and their calendar rotated, I believe, on a 5,700-year basis, 5,700 years. And it was the end of a particular cycle. People took it as being the end of the world. Now, we changed from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar. Why did we do that? Because most people assumed the year to be 365 and a quarter days, and that worked out pretty good. In fact, there are people listening to me today that probably think that there is a leap year every 4 years. That means that they don't know about time. Why? Because we don't have leap year on every 100 years, every year that ends in double zero. Does that get us correct? No, because every 400 years, we do have one. So in 2400, we're going to have one. But we think that we know, and we haven't delved deep enough. But people knew this years ago. So on the Olmec calendar, while people were calculating that calendar based on 365 and a quarter days, they had 365 days, 5 hours, 49 minutes, and 12 seconds. And that's why theirs was still on. Now, how can people thousands of years ago, they weren't European. In fact, the predecessor of Europeans was the Cheddar Man. Dark-skinned man found in a cave in Europe 10,000 years ago. What I'm saying is I don't care about physical appearances. They don't mean that much to me. Your mind, your soul, what you can do is important. It gets down to the root and essence of being a human being. So we see this young lady, and we sometimes think that women shouldn't go into science. And that is far from the truth, too. Because we look at the only person that has Nobel Prizes in two different categories, Madame Curie. Her husband has Nobel in one. Most other people that may have two have it in the same category they were in before. And so what I'm telling you is that we're capable of doing something. I want you to look at that post. I want you to look and see Dr. Croke, and listen to what she has to say. She's encouraging to our youth because they can comprehend things that I can't do. I came up in an area when I didn't have computers. They're not like second nature to me. Some of our kids are just absolutely amazing with them. But what I'm telling you is there is no obstacle that we can't overcome. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do next week. I'm not through with this week yet, but let me tell you what we're going to talk about next week. Because next week is, I believe, the 15th, and we're going to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King. But we're going to talk about King in association with the Montgomery Improvement Association. Dr. King was nominated for this honor by a person that I met while I was at an HBCU. He was nominated for that position by Reverend Edgar Nathaniel French that I met at Livingstone College. He was dean of students. And worked in the seminary. As people who worked at historically black colleges, you wear many hats. And he did. And I knew his children. And it absolutely floored me that I would be talking to someone that had nominated Dr. King. Dr. King was new in the area, did not have the detractors that some of the others had, but he was willing to stand up. We spend so much time trying to fit in rather than standing out that it's harmful to us. It detracts from all of us. When we get the call, we need to heed the call. When we get the call, we need to heed the call. Heeded the call. She is still intimately involved in her work. And I'm sure that among her work includes encouraging other people. So put away the thoughts that you had of an inferior race, of an inferior people, of an inferior gender, religion, creed, whatever you may think of. Understand that that ain't the way to go. And we can see that in her work. I want you to hear her words as she talks, because there are interviews with her on that particular post. And what do you think that would do to our children who have heard for years that we can't, that we have to work twice as hard, and that may be the case, but we can do it. People who rise to the top can do it. I'm going to give you another example while I'm thinking about my good alma mater. If you have a dime in your pocket, a 10-cent piece, look at it. Look at it. It has the initials J.S. for John Stenick. John Stenick was in charge of the treasury at the time that that dime was minted, originally minted. John Stenick had been charged before with plagiarism of sorts, of taking somebody else's work and putting his initials on it. Where did that dime come from? Where did that come from? That was the work of Selma Burke. Selma Burke. How do I know her? She has an honorary doctorate from Livingstone College. We sometimes put down our HBCUs. But she is from North Carolina, and she worked in that area. And she became a sculptor because she grabbed a ball of clay and started trying to figure out what she could make of it. Now, today, many people may say, put that down, quit playing, get out of that. But what she was doing was she was fashioning an imagination. She was honing her skills. We have to look and understand our kids. We need to spend time with them. We need to understand what they like and what they don't like. I think we spend way too much time online without certain discipline. Playing games, I think, has a tendency to make you antisocial because you don't learn to, deal with people. Our strength lies with the ability to interface with people, to work, to ask questions, to apply ourselves. Again, do what needs to be done before you do what you want to do. Yeah, it's fun going out doing this, doing that. But as a kid, I can't tell you the number of times I woke up in a panic because I had not done my work from the day before. We have very little homework nowadays. I don't know why. But when you find a kid who is passionate enough about a subject that they are spending time studying that subject, study with them, guide them to classes, guide them to lectures, guide them to whatever it is that feeds their enthusiasm, that feeds that inner spirit. Martin Luther King talked about one day being able to look at the content of a person's character as opposed to the color of their skin, their hair texture, anything else. And there are many, many flaws in that system in and of itself. We're not as good as we think we are when we go to determining the ancestry of people around us. We're not. Now, what I'm going to do is open the microphones. I see we have a couple of people on it at this point in time. We do have other listeners who are on with a connection, an internet connection, and we love you dearly for doing it. The only reason I'm telling you about the phone number is because in order to interact with us, you need to call in so that I can see you on my dashboard. That number is 646-668-8217. And what I'm going to ask you to do is write that number down, because it doesn't change from week to week. And we come on and we talk about other topics as well. And I want to give you an opportunity to ask questions. Part of our mission is to open a dialogue. Open a dialogue. Everybody doesn't have to agree with me. When I'm chairman of a group, and I don't want arguments just for the sake of argument, but if everybody agrees, and most of us aren't needed. Sometimes we open our eyes by the questions that come up. Now, we can disagree without being disagreeable. We are adults. We don't need to resort to what they used to call gutter language or back alley talk or anything of that nature. We can be civil as we make our discussions, because we're better than that. We are better than that. When we start falling prey, and I want to tell you about an incident that happened with Dr. King, and I'm opening the microphones very shortly. His house was bombed, Reverend Abernathy's house was bombed, and this was intimidation tactic, just like lynching was and has been in this country. Incidentally, it's taken us over 120 years to get a lynching bill passed. It came and was first introduced by the politician that we talked about a couple of weeks ago from North Carolina. North Carolina. In 1901, I believe, is when that bill was first introduced. We haven't just sat here and done nothing. But many times we sit here because we're waiting on a leader to come riding in on a white horse. We're looking for a leader. Let me give you a clue, folks. Look in the mirror sometimes. That might show you our next leader. It might show you the person that makes our next leaders. It's important. We're not just put here as beautiful ornaments on the face of the earth. We're built here for service. We were put here by a mighty God. George Washington Carver never took a book into his laboratory. Why? Because he got up at 4 o'clock every morning. He spent time with his Creator. He studied his books. Then, under the guidance and direction, he went into his laboratory. There are people today that don't realize why he is associated with the peanut. But when asked if he did his best work with the peanut, he will flat out say no. And when you learn more about him, you'll understand why. We have so much more to give. We have so many more people to influence. This is why I ask you, implore you, beg you to have other people call to the show. Listen to the show. listen to what we're doing. And I want you to make that a part of your regular practice. I see that we lost one of those callers, so we'll open it to our remaining caller, which we lost a couple, but I have my good friend Marshall James here on the line with me.
Hold it. Yeah. I was on the line.
Hey, Mr. Marshall.
Hey, Mr. Abercrombie.
How you doing, sir?
I am doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I'm doing good. I was going to call you and remind you that I was on today, but I see that you beat me to the point.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate it. And Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to all of your listeners. I was talking to some of my relatives up in Maryland, and they also listening to you today.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they're listening, but one of them said he's not the historian, so he lets his wife listen. But anyway, as long as we're listening, because you are certainly doing, with your asset that you have for us, you are doing such a wonderful job. And I just wanted to let you know that on our Black History Month, I talked with the pastor, and they want you to come to a travel address on the fourth Sunday, which will be February the 26th, as our speaker for that Sunday at Travel Address Baptist.
Put me down. I'll be there.
All right. I said, well, I give you the number. He said, no, you go ahead and call him. I said, that's just fine. Yeah, get Mr. Abercrombie here so he can tell us the real story.
Right. And there's so many people can do. I like what you guys are doing at Trappers Rest in Florence Chapel.
Yes, we certainly try. We're going to have some people to speak, and what we're going to do, we're going to let people do a little unknown Black history fact. It's telling about who has made history in your life. Somebody that could be your uncle, could be something from across the street. Uncle John may have did it, or someone that nobody ever heard about. That's the type of history that we're looking for this year. Yes, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, let me tell you this story right quick. There's a post that I made on a lady by the name of Carrie House, House. And Carrie House was tricked into being re-enslaved. She was in free country. Owner had her come back across the Ohio River for some reason. They kidnapped her, put her back in slavery, and she ended up getting her freedom. And looking at her relatives, she had a relative, and he knew about her, but said she was a jailbird. Yeah, she was put in jail, but she got restitution for the time that she spent in slavery the second time. People don't want you to know that anybody has ever received restitution for something like that. And sometimes we have relatives that have done important things, and they tell us about it, and we don't believe it because we didn't see it in our book, our history book. Don't mean it ain't true. Because I'm finding out stuff about my family that I never knew. Never. And so you can be mighty proud of many of the people in your family. Look at the full story. Why? You know, we had people that have been put in jail merely because they've been accused of something.
Right.
And that's what lynching is all about. You didn't have to have done it. Just somebody say you did it.
That's right. Well, we're so proud to have you, Mr. Abercrombie, to give us the real deal on history, because, Lord knows, we take it for granted, and some of us, we don't even want to know about our history. And I think that's one of the reasons why that some of us act and do the thing we do. We don't even know who we are. You are not something shot here out of a cannon. God made you just like he made everybody else, and we all are somebody. You need to know that. If you knew that, then some of the ways and things that people do, I don't believe they would do it. Because I'm better than
I'm sure you're better than that. Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't.
Yes, yes.
And we'll talk about that.
Yes, sir. Certainly will.
And I take it your family's doing well?
Yes, everybody's doing well. Everybody's doing well. We have the little ailments here and there and now and then. Leon, he's doing good. We're getting ready to next week on the 17th, they're going to do our live story of our singing career.
And where is that?
Going to be on the 7th over here at Shiloh. We're going to, that's some people that's going to be coming in with Greg McKeith. And they wants to do our live story on our singing career.
Well, tell us about it on here now. Tell us where Shiloh is. What time it's going to be?
All right, Shiloh is just around. It's on a Welford address, but it's right here. The only thing that separates Welford and Lyman and Welford is Shiloh Church Road. The line runs up the road, so the church is on one side of the road, and we on the other side of the road. So they have a Wilford address, and we have a Lyman address because the line runs down the road. And that's
okay.
But it's right here where we at, right here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what time is it going to be?
Well, this is not. It's only going to be McKeith and a couple of other people and Leon and myself. And Mrs. Varner, Mrs. Marilyn Varner, she will be there. And that's probably going to be about it because we don't know what they're looking for. We don't know what they're looking for to do the life history of us, although we have all of the pictures. They say be sure to bring the pictures, and we'll have about 7 or 8 tables full of pictures, I know, that we will have that. We're not just going to bring those pictures. We're going to bring other pictures that we have had taken all the way back into the 30s and the 40s.
And is somebody going to video it? Do you know?
Yes, I think Greg McKeith is going to video it.
Outstanding, outstanding.
Yes.
Let me mention this. When you have the James Brothers, you've got some tradition, you've got some history, you got some good singing, and you got some good hearts in that group. I went to a preview by Cynthia Reed Wills that was held at Wofford College.
Yes,
and
yes,
the program
yes.
got a little bit off, but we were able to enjoy the time by listening to the Fabulous James Brothers. Not fabulous, but...
All right.
Yeah. So
yes,
you never know what you're going to get, but you know you're going to get something good. So
that
next week, give us the address of that and the time, and maybe we'll have a few people drop in and take a look.
All right. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. So we'll be letting you know. Well, it's on the 17th, around 11 o'clock. On the 17th at Shiloh Baptist Church in Welford.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Most people can put that in their GPS and make it there.
All right. That'll be fine. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So any other comments before we close out?
I think that would be it. We just want to say we are glad to have you as our assessor. Who connects us with who we need to be connected with. You are really putting out some information here for our listeners. And I find out a lot of times some of us are just not interested in history. They're just not interested in, I don't know. Well, I find out that we're continuously making history, so we haven't really had time to just sit down and kind of reminisce in the history that we have made because we are still making history.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And there's so much that has been covered up, and we don't know where to start, where to look, how to get access. That's why we do the AmazingBlackHistory.com.
Bless
and
your
that
heart.
And that exposes a lot of stuff. And we're going to open some eyes in February with some of the situations that have taken place that most of us have no idea about. And so gear up gear up for that.
Yes,
and
sir.
If there's no other comments, we're going to close out, and we'll be back here again. And we're going to talk about Martin Luther King and the Montgomery Improvement Association. We're going to talk about Rosa Parks. We're going to talk about Joanne, I believe it's Robinson, some other people that played important roles behind the scenes that we've never heard about.
Right.
So join us next Sunday. And all of you, let's share this information. And thank you for coming in. The program that you're listening to is Did You Know? Success Leaves Footprints. And I am John C. Abercrombie, your host. And I'll see you again next Sunday at 4 p.m., 1 p.m. Pacific time. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.